shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we've got, we've got over a decade's worth of radio shows to prove it. You can go online at philhendryshow.com and listen to we've been doing the radio show, this radio show, for the last 22 years, but we have actually archived and chronicled over 10 years, maybe 12, 13 years worth of shows. And at philhendryshow.com, you can certainly listen to that with a backstage pass. We also have live streaming video of the show right now. We are going to be talking to Joel Heller later on in the program, a writer for Inter Magazine in Germany. We have a gentleman on the line with us in this first hour, Jerry Shadbolt, who has done security work, shall we say, for the United States government in some capacity. He's also, my understanding is, was a part of special operations with the United States Army. And we'll talk about the potential for a military action against Iran, given the their recalcitrance, if you will, if I can use that word, which means, Bud, I can see the look on your face.
Yeah, what's that mean?
It means disobedient, recalcitrant, disobedient. Perhaps it's a bad characterization of one government opposing another, but nonetheless, there is an international consensus here that they should not be doing a lot of the stuff that they're doing. So we're going to talk about that in our first hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Sometime next week, our best of Ted Bell, our best of Ted Bell downloads will be available on our website for sale. And these have been picked by our Backstage Pass members. So the Ted Bell's, Ted's of Beverly Hills best of will be rolled out sometime next week, and will be available for download on our website, philhendryshow.com. I think you're going to enjoy that, and we do appreciate the help that our BSPs have been giving us. So let's get on the line here right now with, what is that, man?
You're talking to your mom?
Yeah.
Is that your mom's?
It's my mom's house, yeah. Mom? Mom?
Bud, hang up on her, okay?
It's my mom.
Hang up on your mom, and you can call her back from the other room. What was she doing?
I was listening to some music.
What is it? Is your mother got hold music at the house or something?
Yeah, sometimes she had like on hold, but that's weird. I never heard that. Usually Three Dog Night.
Usually it's Three Dog Night. All right. Anyway, on the line with us, thank you very much, Bud, for that. On the line with us is Jerry Shadbolt. Would you please turn that music off before it drives me nuts? Is he on the line with her? Good. Jerry Shadbolt with us. Jerry spent some 21 years working special operations with the United States government in a variety of capacities, most recently as a special ops, either operative, soldier, what they call a breacher or assaulter, and then you're also part of their, leadership corps there. Jerry, how are you doing, and thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Phil, and I wanted to tell you that I can't confirm any of the statements that you've made. That's not to say that what you're saying isn't true, but I cannot, and I don't want to get into any specifics there. What you're essentially saying, though, is true, but I can't tell you with any clarity, and I don't want to say with any specificity what it was that I did specifically, other than to tell you that it was of long standing. You're right, and we did work in a non-traditional area of the United States military.
All right. But okay, so that was, so I can't say,
I can't, I want to confirm or deny, Phil, any of the things that you've stated, which is not to say they're not true, but I will not confirm or deny any of those. I will only say that I did do high-level operations for the United States military, the United States Army, the United States Air Force, and did do that both as a member of operations as well as an officer in administration and in tactics and operation.
All right, that's probably good enough. Jerry, we're talking here about Iran. All right, now we're not talking about politics, we're talking about military capability, military strategy. And obviously, the idea is to effect, if somebody came to you with asking for a military plan on Iran, it would be to effect the removal of or the disabling of their nuclear capability. Is that fair?
I would say that that's probably fair, Phil. I don't know what any president or commander-in-chief or anyone who is directing the operation, what specifically they would ask of us. You could talk about Iran all you want. You can say, well, the role is to, or the goal, rather, is to knock out the Iranian ability to create nuclear energy. And if they have weaponized the nuclear energy or the nuclear capability, then it would also be to disable not only their ability to produce nuclear energy, but also to disable the weaponization of it, whatever infrastructure they put into place to weaponize it. How you would go about doing that is the matter for anyone directing and conceiving of the plan of operation. What this mission would entail, how many people would entail.
If they gave the job to you, what would be your idea?
Well, I'd have to look. I've spent an awful lot of time looking at this problem from the standpoint of military ops. I've looked at it from the standpoint of going in with in force, using a smaller battalion size units, using special ops. There's no way that you can disable the nuclear capability of the country of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Phil, using simply special operations. You would have to...
Well, I would imagine you'd have to have an army, right?
Well, you would need... when you say you'd have to have an army, yeah, you'd have to have a... You sure would have to have an army.
But I guess I'm saying, in regiment size and division size...
Well, here's what I would recommend. I'm not saying that you can't do it. You can't knock out the Iranian nuclear capability with a special ops operation. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying it would have to be people of the very highest caliber, and it would have to be people with razor-sharp instinct and razor-sharp reflex, unlike any we've ever known. Now, we have in the U.S. Army a group of high delta, what we call a Delta Red, and these people are as good as anybody you've ever heard of. They are, quite frankly, a cut above the Navy SEAL 6, and I'm second to no one in my respect for the Navy SEALs, and I'm second to no one in my respect, Phil, for SEAL Team 6. But Delta Red is the state-of-the-art, cutting-edge force, special ops force. There isn't any better in the world. These people will go in with speed, accuracy. They are absolutely ruthless, and they are absolutely target-fixated and oriented, and can go in and exact and complete a mission and an operation in an amazing amount of time.
Well, have we seen these people in action before?
I can tell you that if they have been in action, I will tell you that you have not seen it, you haven't heard about it, I won't speak about it. But I think from that response, you can infer a few things. Number one, you can infer that the Navy SEAL Team 6 operation against Osama bin Laden was at least in part in tandem with a Delta Red force.
So SEAL Team 6 wasn't the only group.
I would wager a large amount of money that no, they were not, because what I have heard about the Osama bin Laden raid, I don't believe in for one second that SEAL Team 6, as good as they are, were able to affect that by themselves. There had to be some Delta Red, possibly Delta Blue, alongside them. Number two, if they have been in action or if they have been in operations, as you might say, you haven't heard about it, the public hasn't heard about it, and they have been doing what they've been doing, but it's nothing that's going to make the newspaper. You're never, ever going to hear anyone say Osama bin Laden was killed by Delta Red. It's never going to happen. If they didn't know who killed Osama bin Laden, the answer would be he must have just died, you know.
Well, if they find Osama bin Laden and he's shot with God knows how many bullets and everybody's dead and the compound is destroyed and things are stolen.
Yeah, well, then you're going to have to, you're just going to have to guess at it. No one in the United States government is going to acknowledge anything. When Delta Red is used, never is anything acknowledged. And the U.S., the official U.S. position then, Phil, would most likely be, we have no idea who did this. We thank them. We're appreciative of it. We got rid of a bad man, but we don't know who did it.
Wow. That's
That's what's going on right now, Phil. I think the American people need to show, I think the American people should have an appreciation for this, and as I'm sure they do have. I think the American people should be aware that there are things going on now in defense of this country, which I think they would be very pleased with. But, again, you don't want to ask too many questions because, you know, already these questions are being asked by unfriendlies.
All right, Jerry Shadbolt is with us. Jerry is in the security consulting business now, and as you might guess, a lot of guys used to be in the higher levels of the military, whether it's special operations. A lot of those guys do consulting for security consulting for different companies. That's what he's doing. And we're talking here about what you would do, what we would do, how would we do it, going into Iran, how would we take out their nuclear capability, and this Delta Red, which I've never heard of, a group of Delta Force guys that are the cream of the crop of Delta Force, that Jerry just said he thinks were probably alongside SEAL Team 6. When they dispatched Osama bin Laden. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be back with Jerry Shadbolt in a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Jerry Shadbolt, a security consultant, a former member of the Special Operations echelon, if you will, of the United States military, although Jerry is understandably is reluctant to talk about exactly where or how. Jerry, let's get back to Iran, and that's what we want to talk about here. How do you deal with Iran? I know you're talking about special operations, and you're dealing with a lot of very high-level and proficient and sophisticated people, but is this really, and I know you said it isn't possible unless you had really good people, but at the end of the day, what is it going to take? What kind of a force does it take to subdue Iran and force them to give up their nuclear power?
Well, there's no good way of putting this, and I don't think that you'd want me to, and I think the American people would understand, and I think any intelligent person would understand, and there's no easy way of doing that, that you have to go in, and you have to, as quickly as possible, destroy whatever capability the Iranians have in the field. Militarily, we're talking about boots on the ground, we're talking about bodies, troops. You have to destroy their army in the field, such as it is, whatever it may be. You have to also deal with the higher echelon troops, as we've been discussing, whether they have a Revolutionary Guard type of force or what they have there. You also have to deal with their air force, which is, I am told, one of the better air forces in the region. However, having said all of that, that would not be a problem for the United States military. Brushing aside the Iranian Army and Air Force, as well as their Navy, would not be a problem. We would go in and we would direct, first of all, our air capability would be directed at neutralizing their ground force, in force. We would take out all of their mechanized equipment. We'd go after their air force and our people that we have in both Navy and Air Force planes would obviously be very good at taking care of them. Now, where do we go to get the nuclear power? That's or get the nuclear capability neutralized. That's the question. Where is it? Where is it? What kind of intel do we have? If I'm putting 100,000 guys on the ground and I wipe out every Christian soul from one border to the next, and I'm able to destroy the Iranian military force in the field, then where do I go to find this so-called nuclear power? Because if my intel is not good, if my people don't have it together and can't give me the right information, then I'm standing there with my twisted in the breeze, as we say, Phil.
Okay, so, but I would imagine you're not going to go in and take on the Iranian military. As you said, you know, every Christian soul. I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, yeah, that's a matter of speaking. I know that they're Islam, but no. What I mean is I can go in and I can kill everything that wears a military uniform, if you want to put it very clearly and succinctly, but where is that nuclear power?
But you'd know where that is, wouldn't you?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. If I'm doing my pre-op work properly and I've got the intel laid out before me and I can't find it and we've got a go hour of 0600, 0500, whatever, and they're still on the horn to me saying, well, where is it? I said, I'm still looking for it. They're going at 0500, then I better just strap it on, cinch it up, get into whatever vehicle I can obtain and get myself to the front lines.
What would you use to go in and destroy Iran's nuclear? What about airstrikes?
Airstrikes are dicey. I like the idea of air power, although I've been a big proponent of air power from the very beginning against these kinds of installations, especially after the Israelis made Saddam Hussein look stupid when they destroyed his nuclear reactors. The Iranians are not as stupid as the Iraqis. They've got it buried underground, probably well underground. I would have to go in with my people, and we would have to set up a perimeter using high explosives or some kind of a charge, a shaped charge, which would have a time delay, and then get out. But barring that, the first thing I need to do is go in and neutralize the Iranian military, and that means ruthlessly and without any prejudice to creed, color, gender. Destroy the Iranian military where it stands, right where it sits. If we can get to their air force while it is on the tarmac, so much the better. If we can take their naval capability and their naval assets and leave them at the bottom of the harbor, so much the better. If we can take their infantry assets and the boots on the ground, as we say, and leave nothing but boots and just smoldering boots, just two boots and smoke coming up from them, so much the better.
You're concentrating now then on destroying the Iranian military.
That is my number one job, yes.
All right, but still we have this nuclear capability we got to worry about.
Well, I can tell you that if you can destroy the Iranian military in every possible phase, you will have no problem with their nuclear capability, because there won't be any military. Now, here's the problem. If they are nuclear capable, if they've weaponized, again, let me repeat, if they've weaponized their nuclear power, and we have destroyed every swinging, you know what, Phil, their military asset, and all they need is one fanatic, just one fanatic, sitting at the button. And by that I mean all you need is one fanatical member of their science corps, their scientific corps, sitting there with the key to that switch, which will enable the silos and put them into launch mode, then you've still got a problem. You've killed everything that even has ever thought about wearing the uniform of the Iranian military, and you've still got a problem. You've got nukes that are about to be launched. You've got a DEFCON, what they've called a DEFCON 1 in the past. And that is the, I'm hearing music, I don't know what that is.
Bud.
Sorry.
That's another line.
I'm sorry?
That's another line that my producer, he was talking to his mother, and I guess she's got music playing.
Okay, I understand, but please don't allow that to happen again, because it completely took me off of my line of thinking.
Well, I'll get back to it. I'll help you with this, Jerry. you're basically saying that one fanatic sitting there at the switch of the nuclear weapons in Iran, it would render moot everything that you've done.
Exactly. So as much as I'd like to kill every...
Hold on for a minute. Jerry Shadbolt with us here from Jerry Shadbolt from Shadbolt Securities. We talk about possible military action against Iran. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Then Joel Heller coming up next hour. And right now we're talking about what would it take to get rid of Iran's, by military force, nuclear capability. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Jerry Shadbolt, who is a security consultant. We're talking about the possibility of military action against Iran. What would it take? What would we have to do? What kind of, I don't know, what kind of military operation would it be? And we're talking about a couple of different things, a massive military operation, a big invasion of the country. And then going along with that, I guess, Jerry, is what you said would be a sort of a special operations or small unit action.
Well, the idea of it being, I wouldn't call it small unit. I would call it special ops. I would use Delta Red. They are top of the line. They are...
Why have we gotten the idea that Navy SEAL Team 6 is the best when this Delta Red...
Well, Delta Red is not they're not a unit that necessarily, first of all, we don't even acknowledge the existence of Delta Red. I am, because of my knowledge of the workings of United States Special Operations Army, as opposed to what the United States Navy is involved in. But I'm a believer in Delta Red. They would definitely be the boots on the ground. And they would be the ones to take care of that. If the Navy, if SEAL Team 6 came along for the ride, that would be to mostly either mop up or do some assistance in planning and carrying out the demolition side of the operation. But when I was talking to some of the people that I know in Delta Red, and I was asking them these very questions, you have to understand that they don't answer these questions. They won't even acknowledge that they're talking to anyone. See, that is the...
I don't understand that.
If you're on the phone with any member of Delta Red or any member of their operational branch, and you ask them about any potential mission, they will simply not even acknowledge... They'll cease acknowledging you as if you're not there.
So they hang up?
No, they don't even hang up. They don't even hang up. That is the... I think that's the beauty and the brilliance of Delta Red. They cease their acknowledgement of you. They don't hang up, which is to acknowledge that you exist. They don't curse you or they don't deny, which also acknowledges that you exist. What they do is just cease acknowledging you as an individual. And what that does is it removes the essence, your humanity. It removes from you your identity, your ego. And it neutralizes you and basically, Phil, puts you at the level of... you're less than a human being. You're whatever a human is before they're born. And I, you know, there have been studies. And
well, let me get to a phone call here because
this is some pretty high minded stuff. But this is where Delta Red goes.
All right, 877-876 Phil. I'm going to get a phone call here. Talk to Ron. Ron, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi, Phil. This is Dr. Tunner.
Dr. Tunner, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I wanted to also say a good evening to this gentleman, Mr. Shadbolt.
Yes, good evening.
My name is Ron Tarner. I'm an astrophysicist. I work at the observatory here in Cloverdale, Colorado. I am a scientist, but I'm an American citizen. And I'd like to ask you, sir, the idea of a preemptive military strike against Iran sounds as if you're not even functioning in the real world.
All right. Well, I can tell you.
No, but let me just finish my thought.
I don't know who you've been speaking with or what is being talked about in the higher levels of the American government, but the American people will not sit still for a invasion of Iran, and I don't know what it is you think is going to happen, but what the scenario that you are painting here is one that I think it needs to be said cannot possibly happen with the political will of this country the way it is. Well, you know something, Mr. Or Dr. Turner, I will tell you that my experience is a military experience. My experience is just defending this country. That's all I know. All right? Well, I understand that, sir, and I love my country, too. But if you'll allow me, my experience has been defending this country. That's what I do. And if you want me to defend this country, then you have to give me free hand to do that. And I can do it. If you allow me to do it, I can do it. If you don't allow me to do it, no one's to tell you you can't do it. If I could just finish. And I'm going to go in, and if they say to me that the country of Iran has nuclear weapons, and the country of Iran, therefore, must cease to exist as the result of their breaking of international law, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in and kill everything that I see that wears an Iranian military uniform, and then I'll go into the caverns and bunkers and tunnels where they keep their nuclear equipment and kill everything I see there until all that's left is the machinery. And that machinery I will then await orders on either to extract and to transport back to the United States or to leave intact to be blown in place. But I can tell you, I will kill everything. Because that's my job.
And I've got that. And I think the way you are putting that, as an American citizen, I would be very, very afraid.
You can. That's your right to be afraid.
Well, the way you're putting that, Jerry, you'll go in and kill everything.
I understand what I do for a living, though, sir. Okay?
I think I do understand.
No, you do not understand. You don't understand what I do for a living. My job is to kill the enemy. That's all I get paid to do. All they say to me is, that's the enemy, go and kill it. And I go and I kill. And I couldn't do this job if I had people hanging on me and telling me, oh, don't do it. Oh, no, 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 no. You see?
And is that how you perceive me, sir?
Well, I'm perceiving you as a part of the political element in this country that stutter steps.
I'm not stutter stepping. What I'm worried about is the murder of innocents.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I like this. This is my favorite part.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yes. This is where you talk about innocent women and children, right?
Yes. And is that not something that you should be aware of when you go into a country?
I'm very much aware of the innocence of women and children, but I am more aware of the innocent women and children in America. See, this is so much wasted time having to talk to some egghead when I ought to be planning the mission and planning on how I'm going to not only liquidate all those soldiers, but step over their bodies and get to the nuclear reactor.
Well, you know, Phil, you've got a guy out here tonight. It sounds like he's wrapped a little too tight.
Okay, and I like that, too. I like that. I consider that a compliment.
All right, well, you have a way of expressing yourself, Jerry, that's very extreme, you know.
Well, and I think we should be extreme because what we're facing... let me tell you something. You, Mr. Henry, and you, Mr. Turner.
It's Dr. Turner.
Say it again.
My name is Dr. Rod Turner.
All right, Dr. Turner, and you people that are listening on the radio, let me tell you how it works. If we've got to go to war against Iran, then all bets are off, and we've got to go in there, and we've got to destroy everything on two legs. I don't care what it is. It could be a seagull. If it is something on two legs, I'll drop it. I'll drop it in place. And I'll continue to my objective, which is the nuclear power. Because let me tell you something. If those Iranians drop a nuclear bomb, I'm going to personally be very pissed off. Because I could have done something about it. But you, Mr. Turner or Dr. Turner, you would have let me.
You know something? If the Iranians... That's a wishful thinking on your part, isn't it?
Wishful thinking? No, it's not wishful. But if the Iranians ever drop an atomic bomb, God help you. And
what does that mean?
It means that I would you know what it means.
All right, so in other words, if the Iranians drop an atomic bomb...
Well, what are you, issuing a threat?
Yes, I am issuing a threat. Anybody that keeps us from neutralizing the Iranian threat, and they wind up using a nuclear weapon, I'll find Ron Turner. And excuse me for saying that, but where else am I going to go?
Well, if the Iranians drop an atomic bomb, sir, you could just stay where... You'll be in another... It'll be a different dimension.
What do you mean a different dimension?
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, famous last words. If they drop an atomic bomb, I won't be able to get to Iran, but I'll find you. I'll find you, and I'll pull you apart.
Well, boy. Thanks, Phil. This guy, if I were you, I'd hang up on this guy and just forget that you guys ever met. And
that's what I'm going to do with you, sir. Let's just pretend we never met if we ever meet on the street, in a street sweeper.
On the street?
On the street, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Tonner. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to RC in Altadena. This young man's a military cadet. He goes to school at a military. It's a military academy, and so occasionally he does call in. RC, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, Mr. Henry. I wanted to talk to Mr. Shadbolt. Were you an officer in the military? Yes or no?
Was I an officer in the military, yes or no? You're a kid in the military academy?
Well, yes, sir, but I want to get some information.
I was a military, yes, I was an officer. What do you mean, yes or no?
I'm just getting some military information for our commandant and for some of the individuals, some of the background check. Number two.
I'm not going to talk to you if you're giving a background check.
This kid's at a military academy.
I don't care if he's at a military academy. I have seen what these people can do. Who do you work for?
I don't work for anybody. I'm at a military academy.
I know you say you're at a military academy. My question again, who do you work for?
I don't work for nobody.
Why do you need this information on him?
We're just doing like a questionnaire for a test, for just a school project.
Oh, bull crap. You're not doing any questionnaire, and I doubt very seriously whether this guy's in the military academy or not. He sounds like he could be a midget, for all I know, working in the...
All right, hold on for a minute, okay? We got to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show with Jerry Shadbolt on what exactly we do. So far, it sounds like Armageddon to me. I mean, this cat is talking about what we would do with Iran if we found out they had nuclear weapons or nuclear capability, or we had to go in and take it out. It sounds like it's apocalypse now. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Get that kid off the line. What is it with you, bud?
I was talking to my mom.
I'm still hearing that freaking radio. On the line with me here, Jackson Shadbolt. And we are talking about the Iranian situation vis-a-vis nuclear power and whether or not there will be a need of military action. And if there is, you are advising some pretty ruthless stuff.
So, well, I don't know how else you are supposed to deal with a country like Iran, which has never, ever disguised its contempt for this country or its contempt for one of this country's best allies ever, and that is Israel. There is no greater friend to the United States than Israel. And I'll tell you why. Because Israel has its self-interest, just as the United States does, uppermost. And that is the way it should be. So we speak the same language with the Israelis. We know and they know that we are about survival, they are about survival. And when you're dealing with animals like the Iranians, there's only one way of dealing with animals like that, and that is to put a bullet right in their head. And I will say to any American listening to this broadcast tonight that may have queasy feelings, or what do you want to call feeling kind of oozy, or my wife used a oozy term, or she feels oozy.
Woozy?
Woozy? Is that what it is? It's
yeah, feeling woozy or nauseous?
Yes, if you have any woozy, then I would suggest to you that you just step back and let the men take over, okay? Step your punk ass to the side, and excuse me for putting it that way, Phil.
Well, you have a way of communicating that I don't think is going to get a lot of people on your side. I know you understand military operations, okay?
Well, that's my forte, yes, sir. That's my métier. That's what I understand.
All right, but there's also a political side, and the politics precedes and follows the military. In every single solitary situation in life where the military has been involved, politics precedes and follows.
Well, let me tell you a little secret, my fine feathered friend. Sometimes because the politics preceded it is why we need the military following it.
Well, that's true. I don't deny that. I don't deny that at all. In other words, it's been the politicians that have got us into some of these wars. But what I'm saying is, at some point, if the politics was better, then we wouldn't have to, you know?
I don't know what you think you're going to be able to achieve with these Iranians, because I've been dealing with them in psych ops, special ops, and dealing both with Iranians that have been unfriendly, and I've been dealing with deep cover friendly Iranians for the last 30 years, and I don't trust them as far as I can spit into a hurricane. I can tell you that. Even the friendly ones, I always back out of a room. As a matter of fact, Phil, I can tell you an interesting story.
Well, hold on for a minute. We got to take some phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Jerry Shadbolt on the line with us here as we talk about the possibility of military intervention in Iran and exactly what shape that military intervention would take. Let's go to Dave. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Is it Mr. Shadbolt?
Yes, it's Jerry Shadbolt.
Mr. Shadbolt, my name is David.
Hi, David.
Yes, sir. Hello. First of all, I wanted to say I very much admire you and everything the military has done for us.
Thank you.
And I personally, unlike a lot of people you might speak to, I support what you're doing, and I hope that we go and do what we do. I'm kind of nervous.
You're doing all right.
That's okay, Dave.
I hope we do what we got to do, but I want to ask you, what are the chances, that, how many guys, when you talk about a deep, a deep penetration, or not a deep penetration, but when you stick it in, not, I'm sorry.
No. Well, you're talking about our operations. You're talking about how we go in deep.
Yeah, if you slip it in.
No. You don't know.
Well, you guys are using some terms here.
No, I understand. A young man, you're talking about when we go in the back door, or not that, but.
No. When you.
Hold on for a minute, okay?
No, Phil, I understand what he's saying. Are you saying when she sits, not sits?
When she sits down, not she.
What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about special ops. And it's obvious that Dave understands, because he's using some of the terminology. David, are you...
What terminology is that, when she sits down and when you go in the back door? What is that?
Well, it's part of special black op terminology that is sometimes used with Delta Red. If what I wanted to ask you about the Iranian nuclear threat is, let's say that I better not say it,
You're talking about a 6-9, right?
Yeah.
Whoa. Hold on for a minute.
Yeah, I know what you mean. No.
Hold on for a minute. 6-9, back door. I mean, is there something you guys aren't telling me here?
Well, what are you being, like I'm in love with you, Mr.?
Listen, we're not talking about, we're not using code as to what we want to do with each other. Is that what you're worried about?
No, I'm just wondering what... you're telling me that this is the language or the code that is used by the U.S. Special Operations?
Yes, I'm saying to you that if you're talking on the phone and you're afraid of being overheard, yes.
Well, you're on the radio, and we're not hiding this from anyone.
Oh, okay, well, then I can use the regular language, I guess.
I guess you can, yeah.
Gentlemen, Dave, I'll give you one more run at this, then we got to take a break, okay?
Okay, I was going to ask you, how old are you?
Yeah, that's what... Okay, now I understand. I'm 57. And
how old are you?
Yeah,
well, that's what he meant. in using a lot of those terms.
He's talking about sitting on it, going in the back door, 6'9", and all he wanted to do was ask you how old you were.
Yes, because you need to understand, Phil, there are times when...
Get out of here, both. Not you, but get rid of this guy. Thanks very much, Dave. It's been really real.
Well, I don't think that was the fairest thing to do. The young man was simply using a well-worn and acknowledged code.
But to go through a whole song and a dance to ask you how old you were...
Well, I'm sure that there was more to it, but, Phil, if it puts you off, I can only tell you that we cannot discuss on an open phone line, on an open line where people can eavesdrop certain particulars regarding missions. And
well, you don't have to then, man. Why are you using code with this guy?
I don't know. He might have been a guy that I needed to talk to. I never heard of him before.
Well, I know the kid. He goes to school, and he's going to be a LAPD, and...
Okay, well, I didn't know that.
You thought he was some agent trying to communicate with you. All right.
It could very well be. You don't know. I don't know. There's a whole lot that I don't know. As a matter of fact, Phil, one of the things about being in special operations is you don't know how much you don't know. And so you don't trust anyone because they may know more than you. And that happens to a lot of us, especially guys that you work with and that are on the same side. If I'm talking to a guy, he knows more than I do, but I don't want to ask him what he knows because he'll know more. And then he knows that I don't know as much. You see, that's why we can't get anything done in this country. It's because...
Once again, I got to hang up on a guy to end a segment.
No, like Monty Python.
Yeah, they never have a punchline either. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What I don't know, you don't know.